Some of you know Jason, and some of you don't. Jason was our associate pastor here for 13 years, and now he works with Leading Influence, and he is the chaplain in the parliament at the legislature. And so we bless him in that. So he's always a man full of wisdom. He's a teacher through and through. And so, Father, I just want to thank you for Jason. I thank you for how you have put him together, how his mind works, how his spirit connects with yours, and the words that you put into him to share with us today, Lord. We receive them in Jesus' name, and we bless him, we bless Jason, we bless Christine and their sons, Lord, Zach and Ben. And we thank you that they continue to be a part of us here at Life Tree. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lorraine. Well, thank you for that introduction. It's been an interesting last few weeks for Christine and I. So over the last number of weeks, Christine and I have had the chance to connect around the city in some different places, as we do now. And it was a real thrill to speak at the Mustard Seed Church a couple of weeks ago. What a thriving, vibrant community is the Mustard Seed. Wow, wonderful church there. We've been back to Connection. And last week, you know how Connection Church, the church that planted from here, moved from the Vic West Community Center over to Spectrum School. And now into the Vic West Community Center, following right on their heels, is a new church plant in our city, C3, the Christian City Church. And so they launched, and so we were celebrating with them last week at their launch. And so, hey, church, there's so many good things going on in this city. And so just be encouraged God is doing such good things. Okay, but in the time that we've been away, there's been a series, different ones have been speaking, and the topic has been generally around this theme of hearing God. And so I've called it Hearing God series. But I want to talk to you first, because each one kind of took a different part, and so I want to add my little piece in today, and that is this. Sometimes when certain people hear that you're going to either teach about or engage in the conversation about hearing God, something in them automatically either does one of two things. Either they tense up or they check out. They tense up because immediately they're feeling a pressure that they're not able to do something that's being asked of them, or they check out because they've tried before, it hasn't worked, and they've just said, I just don't get this. And so they check out. And I think that that might be more common, now maybe not in this church, but I think in a lot of places that might be more common than some people realize. And they just say to themselves, you know, I don't hear God. I don't know why. I've tried. It doesn't work for me. I guess I'm just not wired that way. And so, because sometimes there's people see things in a slightly different way. They have a slightly different personality type. And so I've added something onto the sermon title. And today we're going to be talking Hearing God When You See the World Through Bullet Points. And that is kind of... I hope that you can appreciate that, because oftentimes the question that I would have is, what about the practical thinker? What about the person who is more analytical in their way and in their wiring? Is there room on the train for them to also hear from God? You have maybe guessed that I come at this topic with a certain bullet point one experience. Bullet point two, maybe not this message again. Bullet point three, is there any hope for me? I personally, and maybe like you, am more of a practical kind of, I don't know, common sense kind of person, and it's maybe the way that I'm wired. Common traits of us bullet point people would be we not only see the world through bullet points, we see the world through numbers. And so if Christine and I are out on a nice date at Starbucks, we're having a tender moment, and she says to me something like, and I'm just making this up, she didn't say this, but if she was to say something like this to me, if she was to say, "Oh, Jason, what do you like about me?" I would sit back and I would say, "Well, number one, I think you're cute. And number two, I think you're smart. Number three, I really..." Well, I can't say number three out loud. "Number four, I love that you like to go outside and love the fresh air." And that's the way that my mind would kind of think. And oftentimes when Christine and I are having a conversation, she'll ask me something, and before I can answer, she'll say, "Number one." And I'll say, "That's right. Number one. Let's start the list." This is the way us bullet point people think. We prefer Twitter over Instagram. I spend 15 minutes on Twitter for every 1 minute I spend on Instagram. We like LinkedIn over Snapchat. We love the phrase, "Will you please pass me that clipboard?" We love that phrase. We don't want to wallow in emotion. We say, "Let's get on with it. Enough talk. Come on, let's go." That's kind of us. But I have to say that in this way that I believe that God has wonderfully created us, that I would never desire to see the world only through the lens of analytical thinking, common sense, and bullet points. I think for too long, when I was in my 20s and 30s and part of predominantly charismatic churches, that there was an expectation or this thing that was never spoken about, "Well, I guess I just don't quite measure up with this whole expression, and I guess I'll just have to get over myself a little bit about that." And as if something were wrong. Maybe you feel that. "Well, I don't hear God, and everybody talks about this, and I just don't quite get it. Maybe there's just something wrong with me." Maybe you've never said that out loud, but it's just something that's kind of landed in you. And that's the way that I was. So I was part of a church in Abbotsford that we were on a leadership team that had seven couples. And everyone on the lead, all the guys anyway, on the lead, they all had long hair and earrings and artistic and, you know, kind of passionate and all that kind of stuff, right? And I was like short hair, you know, khaki pants, you know, plaid shirt. And it was like, and so we came over, this leadership team came over to Victoria. There was a conference over here. And we were in a house meeting, and Bruce Friesen, we're in this meeting. And he says to me, you know, we're kind of in this crowd, there's maybe 15 or 20 people, and in the tender way that Bruce says things, he says, "You know," he said, "Jason, I want to tell you something." He said, you think that you're kind of off or weird," he said, "but I want you to know that you're actually the normal one, and all these other guys are weird." What that was Bruce's tender way, translation to say, it was just, I went away from it feeling so good, but the translation was this: "Hey, you're okay just the way that you are. Just be who you are, and don't try to, you know, don't put an earring in," which I tried for 6 months and thought, "I hate this." Like I was embarrassed, right? It's just like, "Oh, I got this earring," and then my boys did, and it's just like, you know, so I was just like, "Get that thing out of my ear. I'm not putting an earring in anymore." And then my dad put an earring in. He did it for like 6 months. It was just like, "What happened to us?" You know. Anyway, we got over it all very quickly. And if you got an earring in, that's all good for you. But I have to say that over the years, I've grown much more comfortable with how God has made me. And in that place of developing a greater comfort, guess what the byproduct has been? That he has been speaking to me much more over the last 10 or 15 years than there's all that pressure that can build up and, you know, this, that performance thing that can happen. So my question, I guess, is, does having the practical gene, the analytical mind, preclude you from hearing God's voice? And the answer to that is no, but it just may not be the way that others hear. You might hear different, but that's okay. You know, there are actually great benefits from being a very practical person and then hearing, because when you do hear, you hear and you know. I mean, there's not this idea of, well, was that really me or was that God and how am I feeling and all that kind of stuff. You just skip past all that stuff. It's just like God just downloads something and it's like, I got it. This is good. But, you know, there's a roadblock that I want to talk about, and then there's a few points because, you know, we're not going to get out of here without a few bullet points this morning. But the one thing that that relates to, I think, hearing the voice of God for us, maybe more who are analytical in nature, is that we move to a place quickly of self-disqualification. Has anybody ever done that in another aspect of your life? You don't feel like you just immediately you try something and then you move to self-disqualification. I guess this isn't for me, this doesn't fit, it doesn't work. And we use this phrase, and I've referred to it already this morning, and we often will throw out this phrase, and it's just, it's just the way that I'm wired, or the way that I'm not wired. I guess it's just the way I'm wired. And I just want to unpack that for a moment, because when I was on this journey of hearing God, there was some teaching in the church, and maybe you've heard it too, and it centered around being right-brained and left-brained. Have you heard that teaching? And left-brained people, and this is true, that left-brained people are more math-minded, more analytical, you know, they're more thinkers, they're more practical, and right-brained people, they're more intuitive, they're more sensitive, they're more artistic, musical, that idea. But what we did, and here's the mistake that was made, you know, that's actually true, but here's the mistake in the teaching and the mistake that we made, and that was like we just drew a line right down the middle. And we just sort of said, okay, well, who are you? Are you this way? Are you that way? Like, you know, choose. And then here was the thing. And it was like for the left brain people, they said, well, what you need to do is you just kind of need to shut off that part of your brain and get in touch with this other part of your brain and really kind of cultivate that and exercise that muscle. And if you do that for long enough, then you'll be able to hear. And, you know, I kind of went away from that thinking, okay, so, yeah, I guess it's true that if, you know, if I'm a right-handed person, you know, and if I cut off, you know, my right arm, I guess I'll probably develop a left hand, you know, I'll learn to be a left-handed person. And in fact, several people here may have experienced this. Certainly our parents and grandparents experienced this in education. Do you remember that old idea? If you were, you know, writing with your left hand, and the teacher, you know, would kind of come walking down the aisle and see you, you know, writing with your left hand, you know, you get like a whack. It's like, no, we write with our right hand. You know, that was a thought. And I believe that that idea has kind of crept into this whole thing of hearing God being this left, right-brained or left-brained kind of person. And and of course, you know, you look at it now and there's studies out there that just say, hold on, this whole right, they call it the right-brain, left-brain myth. And what the myth is that somehow there's this dividing line and you're kind of this or you're that, when in fact there's thousands of cross points that go across, where the right brain person, the artistic, creative person, can very much move into a place of being analytical, bullet point, you know, when they need to. And the person who is very left brain can move over into the other spectrum. And so there's many areas where it can cross. So the 23rd Psalm, David writing, says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want, or I shall lack nothing." Jesus said in John 10 that, you know, kind of this idea of the Lord being a shepherd, he is saying, "I am the good shepherd." And what's the phrase? "And my sheep what?" My sheep hear my voice. He's kind of springboarding off that. We lost our dog, Jack, wonderful dog, for 12 and a half years in our family. And but when we would go away on holidays, we would often take him to Christine's dad's place. And one day we were on a holiday, I think for 10 days or 2 weeks or whatever it was. And we came back, and just as we were driving up in our van, we saw Christine's dad walking at the front of the property with Jack, our dog. But we were, you know, from at least from here to the sound booth or maybe further away. I stopped the car. I kind of poked my head out the window and I whistled. The whistle that Jack knows because he knew my voice. And immediately he was just like, you know, he couldn't see anything. He was just like, where are they? They're back, you know. My sheep hear my voice. And God speaks to us, and he will speak to you just the way that you are. And it's no problem with the idea that God meets us right where we're at. Let me sidebar on Psalm 23 for a minute and tell you a quick story. And that is, I had the opportunity on Tuesday to have lunch with a former MLA who lives on the island and is now retired. And he's now 70, but his dad was a Pentecostal pastor, and he was a bit of a rebel for many years. But God just graciously brought him back. And when his father was passing away, and this former MLA, about 20 years ago, was at his bedside, he was relaying the story to me again on Tuesday over lunch. With tears in his eyes, he said, Dad, is there anything that you want me to read or to say or to do right now? And his dad could just, you know, almost gone, in his very last moment said, read 23rd Psalm. And so he grabs his dad's Bible off and begins to read the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down by green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. And he went through the psalm. And then at the very end of the psalm, surely goodness and loving mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And then as he read the last line, he said, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. His father just lifted up his arms, and simultaneously as this MLA read it, he said, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He dropped his arms, became unconscious, didn't die at that moment. It was the last words that he spoke. And then he died just a couple of hours later. The Lord is our shepherd, and we as his sheep can hear and will hear his voice. There's another phrase that we have heard a lot that I like quite a bit, and you've probably heard it here, and that is this phrase. It's good for us bullet point people, and that is this: revelation trumps wisdom. Have we heard that in the last few weeks? Are you familiar with that phrase? Revelation trumps wisdom. In other words, when you feel that you've heard something and you've got something from God, that is more important than wisdom. The vast majority of the time, 80, 90, 95% of the time, in our daily walk and how we figure things out in this life, we are going to operate in the realm of wisdom. But every once in a while, when we are attuned to the Spirit of God, he is going to allow us the privilege of stepping on beyond the place of wisdom into the place of revelation, and to make decisions and to move in the place of revelation. And that's such a sweet place to move into. How many people here have experienced that? It may be you're wondering about the wisdom of something, but you just know that you heard from God and it was revelation to you. So 15 years ago, for instance, when Christine and I, our family's all in Abbotsford. Christine has a job in the public school system. I'm working in the school system. All of our connections are there. All of our history was there, born and raised and that whole thing. And we receive an invitation from Bruce and Lorraine to come and join them in Victoria. You know, it's just like we just dropped everything, left everything, and went and never regretted it. Why? Because we had revelation. What's going on in your life right now that you might be wrestling with something between wisdom and revelation? I think that, you know, the whole idea of me stepping out to the legislature was one where, there's lots of wrestling that went on in that decision, and we're lots of, you know, trying to figure it all out. And then one day, about a year and a half ago, one day it was like, oh, I know what needs to happen here. And, you know, as a 50-year-old man to say, okay, you know, and Christine, who is, very similar in age to me, it was just like stepping off, you know, and I've used this phrase, and, you know, oftentimes it's like this idea of kind of like stepping off, this is Bruce's phrase, stepping off the banks of the known and the familiar. And you're not quite sure where that's going to take you. But I had an increasing conviction that move from, even though, okay, well, you know, well, how do you step away from income, and how do you do that, and how do you do this? But it became revelation. It wasn't in a moment it was revelation. It was kind of like it was unfolding revelation. But when the time came, we knew it was revelation. Christine had said, we were talking about this, and Christine said, well, actually, in marrying you, I needed revelation. And I'm like, okay, wait a minute, hold on. So wait a minute. That means that it was like on beyond wisdom, or there was no wisdom in that, or, you know. But she said, I needed to hear from God. I needed to hear from God. I needed revelation. And God came and gave her revelation. Praise the Lord. Okay, three bullet points for us in maybe, hopefully, 10 minutes or so. Three bullet points, and here they are. Number one, believe that God wants to speak to you. Believe that He wants to speak to you. It's so good to be able to take that idea that He wants to speak, and then appropriating and adding your faith to that. And Abraham believed God. He believed it about his future and his destiny and his history. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness in the book of Genesis. The key is that we expect Him to speak. King David said this in Psalm chapter 5, each morning you listen to my prayer as I bring my request to you and wait for your reply. Jesus said this, but when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. Translation, Jesus to His disciples, guys, the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. And I believe that as much as the 12 disciples kind of represent this cross-section of personality types, well, it wasn't like, okay, you know, everybody but Thomas, the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you. Okay, Peter, you're going to kind of fall down flat, so the Holy Spirit's not going to speak to you. But, okay, well, you three, you know, the inner circle, you three guys, the Holy Spirit. No, all of them. And they're a great cross-representation, a representation of mankind. God wants to speak to us. He wants to speak to you. He does. Number two. Learn the fine art of listening. You know, many people are, and this is sure developed in my life, but many people are very good in their prayers of talking to God. But what I have found is, as the years have gone by, I spend much more time listening and being in a contemplative place than I do actually speaking to God. Is that some of your experience as well? As the years are going by, less of me talking, more listening. And that, for me, it kind of works best if I'm out on a walk or, you know, something like that, right? Rather than just sitting there in my room on a couch. That doesn't work for me. But getting out on a walk and doing that, that's good for me. A man bragged, you know, about this listening idea. A man bragged that he had the finest hearing aid available. A friend asked, oh, what kind is it? And he said, oh, it's about 2:30. Jesus said... Let me read that again, because it was funny. A man bragged that he had the finest hearing aid available. A friend asked, what kind is it? About 2:30. Jesus said, I got to keep going. Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, does, you know, he didn't say he who has ears. We all have ears. He who has ears to hear. See the difference? Let him hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let him be listening, and let him consider and perceive and comprehend by hearing. One of my favorite preachers is Chuck Swindoll. He told this story. Let me tell it to you quick. See if this applies to you and your family dynamic. Are you ready? So Chuck Swindoll once found himself with many commitments in too few days. He got tense about it. I was snapping at my wife and my children, choking down my food at mealtimes, and feeling irritated at these unexpected interruptions throughout the day. Because before long, things around the home started reflecting the pattern of my hurry-up lifestyle. hitting home at all. It was becoming unbearable. I distinctly remember at supper one evening, the words from our youngest daughter, Colleen. She wanted to tell me something important that had gone on in her day at school. And she said this, "Daddy, I want to tell you something, and I'll tell you really fast." Suddenly realizing this, I answered her, "Honey, you don't have to, you can tell me everything, and you don't have to tell me really fast. Say it slowly." I'll never forget her answer, "Then listen slowly." Solomon prayed that God would give him a hearing heart. That word in the Hebrew is shama. I have something up there, shama. A hearing heart means to hear, to understand, to listen, and to obey. So Solomon prayed, "God, give me a heart that hears. Give me a heart that understands. Give me a heart that listens. Give me a heart that obeys." Taking that a little bit deeper. And finally this, just the last thing, and that is inviting people into your process. If you are struggling with hearing, and that is something that's like, this whole hearing God thing is difficult for me, invite people into your process. Proverbs 11:14 says, "Godly counsel, where there is no godly counsel, the people fall, but in a multitude of counselors there is safety. The words of Jesus, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed." The book of Acts, this sounded good to us and to the Holy Spirit. We were not meant to do this alone. The beautiful thing about hearing is that we, in fact, can hear together. And it's a beautiful story when people can come alongside and to assist us and help us in hearing. So take heart, you bullet pointers. I have good news today. We too have the opportunity to hear from the Lord. Let's stand together. Lots of ways to hear, and I think that's been unpacked already, right? Hearing through Scripture, hearing through prophetic words, hearing through revelation from others, hearing in many ways. But if you were to be honest with yourself, if you were to say, okay, I would just love to take the hearing up, my hearing up just another level, to hear from the Lord in just a better way than I've been hearing lately. If that's you, just a quick hand, just, you know, okay, of course that's everybody. And here's the other one, and that is, what about you bullet pointers, okay? You're a bullet pointer, and you're like, I want to hear more. Bullet pointers, hands up. Okay, bullet pointers. And so I want to pray for you right now. Is that okay? So if you want to get into the receiving position, you can. Which is this. So, Lord Jesus, I thank you that we are your sheep. And I thank you that we hear your voice. And I pray for each one today who raised their hand, that this day and that this week and that this year would be a year of increased hearing. Father, as we look in the Word, that there would be words that leap off the page, that they would go from Logos words to Rhema words in our mouths. I pray, Lord, that there would be an increase in prophetic words for us to be able to give prophetic words and to receive prophetic words. Lord, I pray that in your nature and in your creation, as we are walking, as we are camping, as we are engaged at other levels, and whatever that looks like, that we would be a people that would have hearing hearts. And Lord, we ask you for 2018 that this year would be a year that we would hear you in a more significant way than we ever have before. And we agree for that. So just quickly now, just put a hand if you're just on the shoulder of the person beside you, and just agree. And so we're just going to say, just agree in Jesus' name. Just to, then this is kind of our benediction of sorts. Just pray. No complicated prayers. Just say, hearing, more in 2018. Just blessing, hearing more in 2018. Hearing more in 2018. Blessings to you. Agreeing together. Walking in unity. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.